Good afternoon. I think we'd like to get the third session underway, which is Potential Game Changers, a Spotlight on Selected Emerging Technologies. So I think what we saw in the morning session was first was sort of setting out the broader sort of context in terms of the challenges that we're dealing with in terms of whether it's species, particular ecosystems, or pathways to the big questions that we're struggling with. And then we moved on to really the culture of innovation. It was kind of an eye-opening for me in terms of some of that discussion and dialogue, and I certainly wish that we had more than an hour to pursue some of those items. And I think, you know, when I look at the logo, sometimes I see a summit, sometimes I see an iceberg, and certainly we're just getting to the very tip of the set of issues here, and that's sort of the tip in terms of how do we talk about innovation. What are the invasive species problems that we're looking at? And I think for this session, which is sort of the gifts to put on the holiday list for land managers, are what are some of the emerging technologies that we can start pointing to? And there's certainly a longer list that we can explore and hopefully will explore in the future. But this will certainly provide you with a taste. So to start, I'd like to introduce James Leary with the University of Hawaii, who will be talking about herbicide ballistic technology.
This is the microphone. It's
working.
Yeah,
or okay. If you want, you can take
okay.
It.
Can you guys hear me okay? Yes? Okay. Great. Thank you very much. I appreciate the opportunity to present, especially to Jamie Reeser for the invitation. So again, my name's James Leary. I'm a research extension faculty with the University of Hawaii. I guess we should probably start the session. There we go. Research and extension faculty with University of Hawaii. We're a land-grant institution. And my specialty is invasive plant species management. I'm stationed on the island of Maui, but affiliated with our flagship campus at Manoa on the island of Oahu. So today's talk mostly talks about why I'm having more fun than any of you in this room. Picture tells 1,000 words and 500 hours of flight time. So again, we're talking about herbicide ballistic technology, technology used for interventions on invasive plant species. And as you can imagine, in Hawaii, we're not only known as the endangered species capital of the world, we are the invasive species capital of the world. I'm from Michigan originally. I've been in Hawaii for almost 20 years, all 20 of those years focusing on weed science and research. And I can tell you within 2 weeks, I realized how difficult weed management is in Hawaii relative to other temperate climates. So when we're talking about Hawaii, we're talking about tropical environment, and usually in national meetings or regional meetings like the Western region, I'm usually sharing information on weed problems they will never have. So anyways, moving forward, the grand challenge that I'm focusing on with this technology is moving innovation from an artificial test site that's proving concept into a real management landscape that's proving utility. So for instance, let's move to the technology, herbicide ballistic technology. The technology is encapsulating herbicides into 68 caliber projectiles. The herbicide of choice is triclopyr, which is a herbicide that's used on a wide range of woody species. 68 caliber projectiles, soft gel projectiles are, in other words, paintballs. So using paintball encapsulation technologies and incorporating a pesticide utility into that recreational tool. With the capability of being able to treat plants from up to 20 meters away, so any plant within this room, I would be within effective range. So just visualize the capabilities of being able to treat individual plant targets with a lethal dose of pesticide in a surgical fashion. The problem that we were addressing in Hawaii is incipient populations of Myconia calvescens, which I'll talk about, colonizing remote sections of class one watersheds on Maui. In this case, focusing on the East Maui watershed, where the average slope is over 50%, basically inaccessible to ground management operations. So dedicated to aerial approach to approaching targets and effectively treating them. The objectives of my project working with managers is to detect and eliminate incipient populations of Myconia, effectively containing the spread of Myconia in the East Maui watershed. So again, talking about the difference between proving concept and proving utility. Sorry, I guess I need to stand closer to the mic. The difference between proving concept and proving utility. I can do a lot of experimental studies proving efficacy of an herbicide in a paintball in a controlled environment, in a laboratory setting. That doesn't prove whether or not it actually works in a management setting. So being able to take the technology to that next stage really determines its functionality. To get there, we had to go through a regulatory process where we achieved getting a what's called a special local needs registration, a 24C. It's an application that's reviewed by the Department of Agriculture in Hawaii and vetted by the EPA, and we obtained this registration in 2012. It's good until 2017. We got 2 weeks left on it. And then we just went through the renewal process. We'll have another 5 years to be able to use this technology legally within Hawaii. So it's a technology developed in Hawaii for Hawaii. These are the capsules, 68 caliber, containing 2.6 mil volumes with 200 milligrams of active ingredient. The target, Myconia calvescens, native to South and Central America. It's a tree shrub, grows about 15 meters in height. Some of the invasive qualities of it, which are very unique and makes it scary. It's autogamous, meaning it's self-fertile. It doesn't need other cohorts to pollinate and fertile and become reproductive. It's high fecundity, reaches maturity within 4 years, and 4 years after that can produce its first million propagules. So high fecundity is another trait. It's an edible fruit from a variety of frugivores, namely mostly bird populations, exotic bird populations, thus creating a long distance dispersal kernel over 1,000 meters. Let's see, what else? Extended seed viability, it lasts decades in the soil. So these are all the parameters we don't want in a plant that's not welcome in this environment. And germination in heavy shade. It's adapted to conditions in South and Central American jungles, which are not the same as the type of wet forest environments we have in Hawaii where there's higher light qualities. HBT operations are conducted from a Hughes 500 helicopter. Low altitude flight patterns, typically within 20 meters from ground. And slow, traveling at speeds 2 to 3 meters. These are reconnaissance and surveillance operations. It's a search and destroy looking for targets, and with now the capability to effectively treat them, greatly enhanced our opportunity to invest in surveillance. Operational flight times from this type of aircraft is 80 to 90 minutes in a fuel cycle. We operate with a 3-person crew. You got the pilot and the applicator seated port side behind the pilot so that they share the target window. That's for efficiency purposes. Some of the logistics in conducting helicopter operations that you would not be testing in an experimental design. So again, adopting technology in a real world setting in this type of system. By the way, it's a hell of a lot of fun too. I don't know if I said that. Okay. So the other piece is that Myconia management, first it was introduced in 1970. As a single introduction, it's a horticultural specimen. It's actually an attractive looking plant. But because that one plant could go fertile and reproductive, it was just that one plant that caused massive invasion and infestation of our East Maui watershed. So here we're looking at a landscape of the East Maui. I don't have a laser pointer, but due east is where Hana is, if you've ever been to Maui, which I highly recommend. So from 1970 to 1992, Myconia was growing, expanding, and invading new territory for 20 years unchecked. Finally, in 92, some really smart people in Hawaii related to Department of Land and Natural Resources and the Nature Conservancy and whatnot recognized this Myconia is a problem, and we need to think about what's going on. And a lot of how they identified that was their experiences in visiting Tahiti, where it was already a huge problem. So at 1990, we finally realized it's a big problem. So from 90 to 2011, we have 20 years of management data. You see all these purple dots representing 250,000 targets treated on mainly on ground operations, but also in helicopter operations using another technology, which I'm not talking about, but it's worthy in its own right. It's a long line sprayer that they use with the same aircraft. With HBT coming in into the picture and being institutionalized or tested in a management setting, working with the practitioners, namely the Maui Invasive Species Committee and also the Exotic Plant Management Team for the National Park, we also have Haleakala National Park, we started to conduct operations where HBT was most functional in searching for those isolated individuals, those incipient populations. So you can see the yellow dots in 2012 to 2016, where we are deliberately and intently focusing on containment strategy. The infestation is right there in the heart, where most of the ground operations are, where accessible, but large infestations exist, so you can pad your stats there. We're now focused on a containment strategy going after the most remote and most challenging plants in the landscape. With this type of operational data, we've recorded everything with GPS. Not only are we getting spatial information, but temporal information, timestamps of all the points being recorded, target points and track points, where you see information on the left. We got search effort in the top left corner and herbicide use rate on the bottom left corner. So search effort, both of them on the x-axis is target density. What we're finding out is operations efficiency is dependent on targets encountered. As target density increases, the effort and herbicide use rates start to increase and on really nice linear fits. These linear fits equate to time per unit area and also herbicide per unit area. Well, those also have price points. So we know that for every target, without any targets detected, we can search 1 hectare in 26 seconds. Helicopter flight time is $1,100 an hour, so it's extremely expensive. But we're searching 1 hectare at less than $10 an acre with no targets in the area. Surveillance effort. Herbicide use rate at 31 cents a unit. We're averaging 24 projectiles per target. All of our herbicide use rates are less than 1% of the maximum allowable rates. That's what that red dash is across. That's the 1% level. So we are, again, deliberately using this technology to treat individual targets in a very surgical manner in low-density environments. I'm going to skip these parts, but basically the top right corner says that in our search efforts, our detectability is imperfect, so we're adopting concepts from search theory, and this is a random search effort, where we know that when we scan an area, it's a highly complex environment, steep, multi-tiered vegetation, flying in an aircraft, the door's off, you're smelling jet fumes, your ability to find targets is imperfect, and that will always be the case, but we're able to model it based on mathematical models developed by the Department of Navy for search theory concepts in the 40s. Anyways, it really fits nicely, and I'd love to talk more about it, and I'd like to learn more about it, but that's what we know about that. Also, our dose rate, with our ability to capture this information, we're finding out over time that we're still finding a lot of plants. We're not eradicating anything tomorrow. But we're also noticing that our dose rates are on the decline over time, which suggests that we're starting to treat smaller targets, smaller recruits. So being able to start to use this information for predicting and projecting the biological functions of recruitment and recovery and the push and pull aspects of management. Okay, and I didn't talk very much about it, but you'll recall a slide that showed the dispersal kernel. That was actually developed by or modeled from Australian data by Fletcher and Westcott. We took our same data, our HBT data, and we plotted out where we were finding HBT targets and how far they were from other mature points recorded. And what we found is that our own dispersal kernel fit very tightly with the Australian model. So that's like, that really makes me happy because it shows that the science is pretty sound. Our methods of capturing information in our operations holds true with other high-quality science that's already been conducted. So basically what it's saying is that for meconium, it's 90% of those targets are found within 300 meters of a mature plant, but we've found stochastic events as far as 1,600 meters. So now we're accountable to that type of buffer that is up to 850 hectares. So that one plant that can become mature by itself can impact up to 850 hectares of watershed. We only have 50,000 hectares of watershed in the East Maui. So it doesn't take very many plants to have a total impact on the watershed. So these plants count. Okay, so from 2012 to 2016, with the adoption of HBT, we've invested up so far $682,000, mostly in flight time and in projectile inventories. And we've conducted over 100 HBT operations. With that, we've eliminated 20,363 targets, protecting 18,336 hectares, and avoiding costs of up to $384 million. So in other words, if we let all those 20,000 targets go to maturity, which would happen within 3 to 4 years, that's what we'd be sitting on. It's extremely rapid process. It's scary how fast Myconia moves, and you got to move faster. There's no rest for the wicked. This is where we're at. It's a difficult battle, and so far I like where we've gotten, but like I said, there's no sleep for the wicked on this one. Accomplishments: improving utility. HBT is becoming institutionalized and one of the largest, most comprehensive invasive plant management projects in the world. Maybe that's a bit of hyperbole. We are talking about a small island in the speck in the middle of the ocean. But anyways, we're talking about managing 20,000 hectares on a 50,000 hectare watershed. And I should also say, too, I think what's really unique, what people don't understand, is the East Maui watershed is producing trillions of liters of surface water, fresh water, every year. This is a significant resource, and it's a beautiful resource. I've been living in Hawaii for 20 years, and there's two things I'd miss if I moved. One is the bananas. We got much better bananas than you guys do. And the other one's the fresh water. I can tell immediately when I come here and I turn on the tap, it does not taste like the water I get in Hawaii. We are very fortunate, but we also know it's a very fragile resource, and we're very protective of it. Next is HBT is a highly surgical and efficient method of treatment, presenting the lightest footprint on the landscape. So here's an example. This actually isn't Myconia. This is strawberry guava. It's another target species. But notice all the native vegetation surrounding the treated plant. This is what we want to achieve. We're performing a weedectomy on the landscape. Okay, next is the HBT platform. I think this is probably the most important process in terms of how it's adopted in management. The HBT platform, the ability to effectively treat and eliminate a target, really is a formality. We understood, or before we started, that triclopyr as an herbicide was highly effective on Myconia in small doses. So putting it in a capsule and treating it, that was an expectation at the scientific level, at the starting preliminary level. But what the HBT platform allowed us to do is it really encouraged a stronger investment in ISR, intelligence, surveillance, reconnaissance, a very mature science, but probably a science that most biologists and weed management don't have a full understanding of. It's a very sophisticated science, a very interesting science, and if we were to become on par, say, with the military on these concepts, we would be much more advanced. Improved decision-making and containment of spread. Using finite resources, limited resources, that's in perpetuity, and getting the most out of that. Excuse me. Elimination of one incipient plant is equally determined by detection and treatment of lethality. Again, you can't treat what you don't see, and if all you're doing is looking for plants, you're not killing them. So that's what HBT brings, is it the combination of the two functions. The other piece is an effective strategy is achieved when target mortality management is outpacing biological recruitment, and that's what we're closely monitoring. So, the ability to collect as much data as we can for making those projections and predictions and decisions for future efforts. So some of the technological challenges that we're faced with, One is, in my opinion, adopting big data analytics for monitoring tactical performance and strategic projections. We can't get enough data, and we can't analyze enough data. We need to be, it's kind of like videography. You know, if you haven't, you guys edited film, every minute of footage is worth an hour in front of the computer editing and scrubbing video. That's how these operations are in terms of data management and using that data while it's hot. Excuse me. HBT with a telemetry system. So the latest hardware technology is a telemetry system that you see in the upper right that's actually using an Android device with a laser range finder. So what this does is it's a logging system, so every time we pull the trigger, it is registering a GPS point with timestamp. So we're recording 10,000 datum in a single operation. Higher resolution of another technological challenge is higher resolution of the management terrain and better cell network access for high quality data and real time processing. So we're working with digital elevation models. A lot of our work is GIS, where we've been, how long we've been there. I have 0 minutes. Okay, I'm done. This is the last one. I didn't even see your five. I don't know if you held that up. I'm too short. You're like right here. You're right at my, you're not in my effective field of view here. Next one is heavy payload UAS with adequate sustained flight to complement and eventually displace manned operations. So manned operations will go by the wayside. We'll eventually adopt UAS. We're a long ways off, but we're closer today than we were yesterday. That should be fun. Climate observatory network, understanding climate change and how it's affecting the biology and the recruitment events and the phenology of the plant will help us determine when and how to use resources as well. So those are things we need. And with partners, we can do this. The theme is we can do this. In a lot of ways, I want to say we are doing this. And we are doing this because we have a lot of people in the industry and with the general public, with private, local, and federal and state agencies all coming together to see this technology work. In a lot of ways, Hawaii serves us very well in being able to test something this novel and this daring and this risky. And we're making it work. It didn't work for us. We work for it. So anyways, thanks for your time. I apologize for going over. Thanks, everybody. Thank you very much.
Thanks, James. That actually was pretty cool. And also interesting to see how that technology relies on search theory and surveillance and sounds like a lot of other underpinning factors.